You were retired. You had head of ACES, and you had a couple of other administrative positions, and then Michael Holgan resigned. You were asked to be president. What was going through your mind at that point?
You know, I sometimes ask yourself, how do you get into these things? And I remember having a breakfast meeting with then chairman of our board, Chris Kennedy, over by his office in the Merchandise Mart. And I walked away from that meeting. I was going back. I had a presentation to make at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, and I was going back over to their venue and thinking, what have I got myself in, and do I really want to tie up my life? And Chris had been very blunt. I envisioned a six-month assignment, and he said it has to be 2 or 3 years. And so I came away realizing this was a lot more serious than it was when I went in. I said to him, I think my wife was at that point with some friends in Alabama playing golf. I said, I need to talk to Cheryl. It'll be a while before I can get back to you. He said, well, as long as it's before 6 o'clock this afternoon, this evening. So we made a decision quickly.
I remember one of the things Kennedy telling me, interim was not part of this. That was a stipulation. You were the next president, the new president for a while.
He was adamant that this was not an interim role. And obviously that puts a different context around it. The expectation of an interim is that you'll just keep things moving. Expectation of someone with a full title is you'll make the decisions and move ahead.
What's your mood as you get ready to leave? And I'm sure you have some role here, but not in this office and not talking about budget issues and that sort of thing.
You know, it's a bittersweet moment. I thoroughly enjoyed the job. And I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to having a life. More than I expected. I've been in many different roles, and I've observed presidents and chancellors, and now I've been in those jobs. This one is a 7x24 job, and maybe that's just my own failure to discipline myself, but I've not had time to do some of the things that I would enjoy doing the last several years, and I'm looking forward to that. At the same time, I have had absolutely wonderful opportunities personally to meet people, to be places, to do things, to impact decisions that you just can't have if you're not in a role of this nature. So I'll miss that as well.
So are there particular things that you will miss the most?
You know, I think we are in an interesting time in higher education globally, and being a part of that conversation and not only contributing, hopefully, but also listening and hearing what others' opinions are. It's a time of, you know, some risk about our future, not knowing where things are going to land, and that adds a bit of an edge to it, and that's sometimes exhilarating.
What will you miss the least?
Ultimately, these jobs all come down to people, because budgets impact people. All the decisions reflect students, they affect staff, they affect faculty, and when you make a decision about a budget, particularly when it involves a reduction, it impacts individuals' lives, and you know that. And those are difficult decisions to make sometimes because you worry about those things.
Well, aside from immediate funding challenges, what else do you see are some of the things that Timothy Killeen will have to deal with looking ahead?
I think the creating the vision for the next, it's easy to say the next 5 years, but I think we're in a time not unlike around 1900, a century ago, when the University of Illinois made decisions. President James was in this role at that time, that began to create the platform that we had a wonderful university emerge out of, a globally respected institution. I think we may find ourselves, whether we realize it now or not, to be in a similar kind of period of transition. Obviously, on many individuals' mind is what's the role of online education and all the alternatives, the emerging for-profit, privates, etc. But also the changing nature globally. 100 years ago, we would have sent faculty to Europe for their doctorates, and they would have brought back some of the European philosophies of higher education. Today, the whole world sends many of its young people to the United States to get their training before they join a faculty. And one has to ask the question, with the emergence of major universities, and particularly along the Pacific Rim, but in other parts of the world, even in the Middle East, where will we be sending faculty, the very best in the world, 100 years from now? and are decisions being made today that will change that paradigm? I would certainly hope it continues to be places like the University of Illinois.
Talk about what roles you'll still have on this campus.
You know, that's a good question. I'm regularly approached by people who say, you could really help us with this. And I think, well, that's really interesting, but I really, you know, at this point you realize you don't have a lot of time left to invest. Is that how I want to invest it? I was on a graduate PhD exam a couple of weeks ago. I thoroughly enjoyed being back doing that. I would guess I'll do some of that as we go forward. I serve as an advisor to a couple of our major projects, one involving soybeans as a human food for Africa, another that's been funded by ADM to reduce post-harvest food wastage loss in parts of the world, and I look forward to being involved in those kinds of things.
What else do you look forward to in retirement? Where you do want to travel? Mm-hmm. You know, what else would you like to do?
We're very fortunate. We're almost, it seems like these days, unique in that our two children live in the area. We have six grandchildren, and we've just not had a time to spend much time with them in the last 3 years. I'm looking forward to being able to get reacquainted with our children and their families and spend time with them. I already, I think, a trip to Singapore in October. I'm in Rome in September. There's one in Azerbaijan that I've asked to speak at an ag conference there sometime in the fall. I haven't decided yet if I want to take that up. Speaking at a Latin American swine conference in the Dominican Republic in September. So there's enough out there to keep me seeing the world, if you will.